And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the text. What a strange text for Easter. What an odd thing. What a curious gospel. What a curious thing the Gospel of Mark is. Most curious of the four Gospels, in fact. Telling the resurrection of Jesus. And the first part of that telling ends with women fleeing from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And only after that do we hear of Jesus appearing to the disciples and sending them out. It's curious. But it shows how very well unprepared and unready they were. And it then shows that God does not wait for his people to be ready. He does not wait for us to catch up. He does not wait for us to believe promises or to claim promises before he does his greatest works. This is the pattern all through the Bible. Think about Noah and the flood. Noah looks up and he sees the rainbow. And he understands the promises of God. And God tells him that he will not destroy the world in that way. Things will go on until Jesus returns. Think about the people of Israel by the Red Sea. Water on the right, water on the left, water ahead, Egyptians behind. And they call out to God and he says, what? Go forward. And then he parts away in the sea. On and on. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, looks out and he sees the army of Assyria surrounding Jerusalem. Several hundred thousand strong, and calls out to God. And God says, don't worry. And in the morning, God helps King Hezekiah. Psalm 46, God will help her when morning dawns. Through the night we wonder, through the night we fret, we're troubled. God will help her when morning dawns. And that night began, well, actually, the night of Good Friday. And God helped. He waited through the Sabbath, waited until the morning, waited until sunrise, waited until the dawning, and the women on the way to the tomb wondering who will roll away the stone. They haven't made that provision. They're not ready for anything that morning. They brought spices, but don't know how they're going to get in to anoint the body of Jesus. There's supposed to be soldiers there guarding the tomb and a seal there on the tomb. They're not ready. But God does his greatest work when he does things that surprise us. And so the women discover, to their astonishment, almost at first to their dismay, in fact, to their great dismay, there's no body to anoint. They're frantic about this. The angel has to tell them, he's not here, he's risen. Go tell his disciples. So we have down through the ages the response. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The disciples, what are they doing? Huddling in fear, mourning and weeping. And they hear the news. Won't believe it. They hear the news, won't believe it. And again, they hear the news and won't believe it. And then as they're reclining at the table, Jesus appears to them. See, it's not our faith that allows God to do his wondrous works. It is in spite of us not being ready. It is, in fact, because God chooses to do things for us who are not ready. He chooses to come to save sinners. He chooses to come and redeem unbelievers. And there's the disciples practicing their unbelief until Jesus stands among them and shows them that he is indeed risen. Old Testament. The surrounding nations could not figure out the people of God because everybody around had their idols, visible things that they could worship, and those poor Jewish people, why, they don't even have a visible God. In our day, well, in Moscow, in Peking, in other places around the world, there are the bodies of leaders embalmed and on display. Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong. People can go and view the body and think about how wonderful that person was, which we would disagree with. And they wonder about us Christians. Islam has the tomb of the prophet. We Christians, sorry state we're in, we don't have a body. We don't have a tomb with bones. We don't have a place where we can go and pay our respects to our dead leader. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't make us sorry. That makes us the most privileged and the most blessed of people in the world. Because Jesus is risen. So, everything... Yeah, I changed it up a bit there. So, you know, we've been going through this series of promises fulfilled. All the promises come to their fulfillment in Jesus. He doesn't just speak promises, he is the promise. It all comes bound together in Jesus, in his flesh, in his blood. Jesus, born for us, dying and rising for us. Jesus, for you, Jesus, for me, Jesus, who comes to us this day on Easter. He comes to us through his word to tell us that we are loved and he has conquered and we will rise and we will live through all eternity with God. Jesus, who comes to us this day on Easter, because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Jesus is right here among us. Jesus, who comes to us this Easter, and he comes in his supper with his body and his blood. And as we said at the beginning of the service, it is the living, risen from the dead, body and blood of Jesus, with all of the power of Easter, with all of that resurrection might and power that comes to us. And I express it to the confirmation class this way, year after year. With all of the power of God, with all of that packed into that meal, and now you are going to take that body with all of the power of God, and you are going to take that blood of Jesus with all of the power of God, and you are going to put that in your body, what could happen? What amazing things could take place? Well, as Paul said, it's life from the dead. It is resurrection. It is Jesus exercising his power in us, in our souls and in our bodies, beginning his work now, completing it on the day of his return to transform us and make us glorious. This is an amazing thing. This is the power of God that we hear about. We see some of it happening right now in our days and in our lives. But oh, just wait. There is so much more to see, so much more to experience, so much more waiting to happen. And we will see those things. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.